Meta Productivity, The Next Level, Personal Productivity Training by Yuri and John Novotny. Module 1, The Secrets of New Productivity. About Meta Productivity. Congratulations on purchasing Meta Productivity. You have made an excellent decision. This book, also referred to as training, will benefit you in three major ways. Number 1, you will dramatically increase your understanding and awareness of productivity, habits, and efficiency. This knowledge will help you see your work and life in new light. These new insights will help you become more productive than ever before. You will be able to make intelligent, strategic decisions in order to increase your quality of life and chances of success in your career and business projects. Number 2, you will be able to start new habits easily and successfully while breaking your existing negative habits. The Meta Habit System will become your new superpower for changing your life. Number 3, with the Productiveness Framework, you will be able to dramatically increase your productivity while decreasing stress and overtimes. You will also become more confident in your work, knowing that you are always doing exactly the right thing at the right time. You can use Meta Habit to implement the Productiveness Framework into your life easily and permanently in the form of several habits. As a bonus, you might also find yourself having more energy, sleeping better at night, having more free time, being able to focus more efficiently, eliminating procrastination, being able to overcome any internal obstacles, and overall, growing smarter when it comes to running your life. If you haven't yet put much effort and consciousness into the area of productivity, you might experience what it feels like to be truly in charge of your work and life, perhaps for the first time. The structure of the Meta Productivity Training. This book consists of 5 modules. Number 1, The Secrets of New Productivity. Number 2, The Meta Habit. Number 3, The Productiveness Framework. Number 4, 33 Golden Nuggets of Productivity Wisdom. And number 5, 7 Productivity Power Tools. Each module can be listened to and applied independently, but they are even more powerful when combined. It is thus recommended that you listen to the modules in the given order for best results. However, you can listen to them in any order desired. For example, if you are a thinking type and want to increase your understanding and awareness of productivity, without having to change the way you work and manage your life immediately, listen to modules 1, 4, and 5 first. If you want to start new habits and/or break existing bad habits, you can start with modules 1 and 2. And if what you want the most is a productivity method so you start getting more done as soon as possible, feel free to start with module 3, then check out modules 2 and 5. But again, it is recommended that you simply listen and apply the modules in the given order, starting with this first module. You certainly don't need to apply everything you'll learn in this training to benefit from it. Even just hearing the book will increase your intelligence regarding productivity. When implementing the methods, you can always start small, experiment, and improve your approach over time. You don't need to stick to this book to the letter. I encourage you to apply the methods you learn, then keep what you find most useful and discard the rest. When you get inspired and uncover your own idea of what might work for you, by all means, go for it. Helping you cultivate your original, intelligent thinking in the area of productivity is another goal of this book. I want to empower and encourage you to take action on your own ideas as well. Many of the principles you will learn here are universal, but the optimal way of applying them is unique to you. Finally, you might find it valuable to re-listen to this book once a year to gain new insights and ideas for fine-tuning and improving your approach. Frankly, even I get new exciting ideas that I can readily apply into my life when I re-listen to this book. Best of luck. I wish you a lot of success, fulfillment, and joy in your career and life. The Purpose of Module 1. This short module will explain the difference between meta-productivity and productivity in order to explain what productivity really is. It will also raise your awareness of some challenges and problems related to productivity that you might be already experiencing, perhaps unknowingly. The information provided in this introductory module serves as a quick appetizer to help you start thinking about productivity in new, empowering ways. Right after this module, we will jump into the actual productivity methods in Module 2, The Meta Habit, and 3, The Productiveness Framework. The discussion then continues in Module 4, which is all about the mindsets, strategy, and philosophy of productivity. In that module, you will get deep new insights that you will be then able to apply to everything from earlier modules. In this module, you will learn what meta productivity is, what productivity is and how to become more productive permanently, why you might be breaking your back 16 hours a day for nothing, and one simple thing you can do to take your career to the next level, the biggest problem with nearly every time management productivity method that no one talks about, why it is not easy to give it your best shot when introducing new productivity or time management methods into your life, why perfectionism can bury your chances of success in life, why you will never finish your to-do list and why it is okay, how to strategically pick the correct tasks to work on and why it is crucial, how to break yourself free from the to-do list guilt trap, how to overcome decision paralysis induced by the current complex, fast-paced world. What is metaproductivity? Metaproductivity is the highest level of productivity. The prefix meta means beyond or post. It indicates a concept that expands or completes another concept. While productivity is about creating some output by doing work, metaproductivity is about creating productivity. This boost ultimately unlocks your ability to do more productive work in less time. If you want to be productive, you can simply work harder. The problem with this approach is, of course, once you stop working harder, and working harder costs a lot of energy, you will be back where you started. If you want to be metaproductive, you have to work harder on creating systems, setting up conditions and habits that help you to be more productive permanently. The metaproductivity approach builds upon existing productivity knowledge and methods, integrates them, and takes them to a higher level. Now, let's take a look at what productivity really means. Productivity equals creating value. Being productive means creating value. This brings another question to the surface. What is value? Value can be measured either by you or by others. If it's measured by you, it simply means that you personally like or value the output you've produced. Since this is highly subjective, the value can be difficult to measure. If the value is measured by others, you can usually put an exact number on it. How much are others willing to pay for your work? That's the best indicator of value it has to them. There are also some cases when it's not culturally appropriate to pay for something even when it's valuable. Sometimes the only external indicator of value is how much what you are doing is appreciated by others. While putting an exact number to appreciation can be difficult, it can still be estimated. The important takeaway is that value is always subjective. Various people value things differently and are therefore willing to pay different amounts for exactly the same thing. The general definition of value is as follows. Value is something that brings people closer to what they want in life and/or further away from what they don't want in life. Once you fully grasp what it means, you might reconsider your approach to work. This definition implies that, number one, productivity is ultimately measured by the value created, and number two, value created is ultimately measured by others, customers, your boss, investors, etc., the people you are producing for. This means that, without having an excellent understanding of what your customers, boss, colleagues value, you can't be fully productive. In fact, you could be working 16 hours a day thinking you are doing your best work and not be productive, because what you produce is not what others truly want. The consumers of your work should always be the first thing on your mind when you want to be fully productive. If they need something else than you think they need, you might be working breaking your back over nothing. Now, of course, it almost never happens that everything you do goes unvalued, but there might be some aspects or areas of your work that you are over-polishing. They are less important than you think, and other aspects or areas that you are neglecting. They are more important than you think. Making it a rule to have a thorough talk with the consumers of your work before you begin working, and when you reach key milestones, can be literally career-changing. Here's another way to look at this. It has been said that compassion is the ultimate business skill. Always seek to understand first. Before you commence any larger project, talk with the consumers of your work first. Example, your colleagues, boss, clients, customers, investors. Try to understand what they value most, then focus on that in your work, and you will be automatically more productive, especially from their perspective. Challenge. Self-discipline and willpower eventually run out. There are many time management techniques and productivity methods that work. You've probably already tried some of them, and you may have found many of them helpful. But there is a problem with virtually all of them. They require a significant amount of self-discipline and willpower to work in the long run. We are likely to stop using them when something comes up: illness, travel, too much urgent work, etc. And then we are unlikely to start using them again. Unfortunately, whenever we try to fully implement some new time management technique or productivity method, it usually starts the following frustration cycle: feeling motivated to trying to improve, to succeeding at first, to eventually failing, to getting frustrated, to still trying to improve but with less motivation. The more things you've tried and ultimately failed, the lower your self-esteem in that area becomes. The solution is to use your willpower in smarter ways and work one level higher. Instead of burning your willpower on actual tasks or even organizing the tasks, use it to set up a system that makes your actual work easier permanently. For example, a habit that increases your productivity would be a great choice. Challenge: it's not easy to give things your best shot. The more things you've tried and failed, the less likely you are to give it your best shot when trying another new thing. It's terrifying to give something your best, because if you still fail, even when you are trying your absolute best, what would it say about you? He who feared that he would not succeed sat still. Horace. If you purposefully don't give something your best and then fail, as one could expect, you can just say, "Oh well, I just didn't try hard enough. That was expected since I am so busy with all other stuff and didn't have the time and energy to do this properly." This mental process of making excuses is called rationalization, and it can be very dangerous. Rationalization can hold you back your whole life, never allowing you to reach your full potential. If you're holding back because you're afraid of failing, you won't experience your life fully. You can subconsciously hold yourself back whenever you work on something important, do anything competitive, or even have fun. If you give something your best and fail, it might be extremely difficult to swallow that perhaps you just can't do it because you lack the necessary skills at this time. This is the most bitter of all pills, and yet once you swallow it, you can experience a massive breakthrough. You can finally really change. You might be surprised how hard you are actually able to work and play. In fact, failure is a made-up concept. If you think about it, you can't really fail at anything you fully commit to. You will always learn something new because you've actually tried your best. Each so-called failure brings you closer to massive success. I have not failed. I have just found 10,000 ways that won't work. Thomas A. Edison. In other words, you never fail until you stop trying. Albert Einstein. Maybe the best way to increase your productivity is to stop looking for yet another fad productivity method. Instead, figure out how to fully apply what you already know. Yes, this can be difficult, especially without the awareness necessary for you to be consistently productive and self-disciplined. Fortunately, this awareness is exactly what you will get from this book, among many other skills. People already know the solutions to most problems they have. The real challenge is that it is 100 times easier to mentally grasp any given productivity method than to consistently apply it. That is, unless you have the necessary level of awareness, which you will gain by reading this book. Now, let's learn several important distinctions. Challenge: perfectionism in the information age can be suicide. Before the information revolution, work was finite. It was usually clear when something was done, and it was equally clear what needed to be done next. For example, if you were a shoemaker, you knew exactly when a shoe was done. Yes, you could polish it for a few extra minutes with a boot polish, but then it was completely finished. That was it. It was also clear to you what needed to be done next. Another shoe. End of story. Today, the products we create are so complex that they are never really done. Whether you create some information product or high-tech product, you can always make it better. You can polish it until the end of time, and it will never be completely perfect. Today, we don't ship finished products, we ship versions. 100% finished products that can't be improved and require zero maintenance don't really exist anymore. Many products become outdated the day they are shipped. Even if someone sells something mundane like cookies, it's an extremely complex and infinite process nowadays. The food company might constantly optimize the cookies for the best possible taste, maximum craving inducement, minimum manufacturing cost, maximum shelf life, and maximum profit. Dozens of people can work full-time just on the packaging, running split tests and experiments, researching the customer behavior and preferences,
optimal placement in the store, optimal pricing and branding, etc.
All the food company can do is to ship versions of the cookies and execute new versions of their marketing and advertising strategies. We can learn something from this. Don't focus on making things perfect. Focus on flowing value. Flowing value means that at any point in time, your product can be finished and ship because it has all the essential components working. The polishing can usually wait until after the essential stuff is taken care of. Flowing value means shipping sooner and more often. When you flow value, you can benefit from shorter feedback loops. You can get feedback earlier and more often, which gives you a tremendous advantage and helps you create better products. The main problem with perfectionism is not that it leads to unnecessarily good work, but that it diminishes any chances of actually completing the work in the first place. You need to know when to say something is good enough. You need to break yourself free from the chains of perfectionism. Otherwise, your work might never see the light of day. Once you understand the law of diminishing returns and the 80-20 rule as covered in Module 4, knowing when to say good enough will come much easier to you. Next, let's think about challenge, infinite work. In general, there is an infinite amount of work to be done. With little effort, you can quickly come up with so many things to do that it would take you more than a lifetime to accomplish everything. Anyone could sit down and generate hundreds and thousands of tasks, projects, goals, and ideas. Your to-do list is infinite. What's actually written on your to-do list is just a tiny fraction of all the things you could potentially do. Not only that your to-do list is infinite, many of the tasks on your to-do list are also infinite. Many projects can be worked on, tweaked, and improved ad nauseum. There is an infinite amount of work. You will always have a huge backlog of unfinished tasks. You will never do it all. That's impossible. You need to embrace and accept this fact. Since there is an infinite amount of work to be done, the game is not about doing more. It's all about doing what matters now. Anyone can be crazy busy running on the treadmill of endless activity. But only few people can be truly productive. Working 16 hours a day is not impressive. Creating immense value, getting results, and accomplishing remarkable things, that's impressive. In fact, the less time you need to accomplish that, the more impressive it is. First and foremost, it's all about what work you do. Only then it makes sense to ask how much work you do. Have you worked for 8 hours? Well, that's nice, but have you worked on the most important tasks for majority of the time? Or did you tend to get lost in the mundane? It's all about the results and value you create. Or it's about the journey and what you learn. But it's never about doing things with little, no, or even negative impact. The main problem with doing not-so-important tasks is opportunity cost. When you are doing something that's not important, you are losing the opportunity to do something truly valuable. When making investments, opportunity cost is the number one factor that Warren Buffett is considering. You are also an investor of your time and life energy. Additionally, it matters when you do things. Doing a project that is valuable today might be a waste of time tomorrow. For this reason, it makes sense to regularly reprioritize your to-do list and delete no longer relevant entries. The recipe for success actually seems simple. Pick the right things to do now, do them efficiently, repeat. Or as Peter Drucker said, do first things first and second things not at all. This is a very profound advice. The second things can eventually become the first things, or they might not. The idea is simply to always focus on the one most important thing, whatever that is in the moment. This idea doesn't mean you should only focus on the short-term gains. Sometimes the right thing to do now is to invest effort into doing something that will pay off several years in the future. The right thing to do now is usually simply the thing that has the most value. Focus on the value, and the rest will be easy. Sometimes it might be tricky to balance the short-term gains with the long-term gains, but if you always keep moving forward both in the most valuable long-term project, example, the one that will bring in the most income total, and in the most valuable short-term project, example, with the highest hourly rate, you will be doing extremely well. Sometimes it makes sense to sacrifice the short-term gains, but very rarely does it make sense to sacrifice the long-term gains. If you are focusing on the short-term gains, it should be because they will eventually allow you to achieve greater long-term gains. The dynamic approach of picking the right thing to do now gives you the maximum amount of flexibility, which is very important in the modern, fast-paced world. When creating any plan, being able to adjust the course en route is extremely useful. It allows you to integrate what you've learned on the way. When you start executing any plan, you will learn a lot of things that you didn't know originally. If you then can't change the plan anymore, the result will be less than optimal. Challenge: doing what matters and finding leverage points. Today's world is fast-paced and complex, but that's not the problem. The real problem is that what needs to be done is often unclear. The number of options we have can be paralyzing. Even if you overcome the paralysis but can't identify what matters, you might end up on a treadmill of meaningless activity without making any real progress. Today, it's all about identifying the things that matter, the leverage points, the things that have value. A leverage point is an area where a little effort can have huge payoff. For example, getting the right expert to help you with your project can become a leverage point. This is not optional. Using leverage points is the only way to get ahead. You need to be able to distinguish between valuable activity and a waste of time. You need to be able to find leverage points. You need to be able to stay on track and focus on what matters. You need to be able to identify the next best action. Fortunately, with the right awareness, tools, and habits, you can do all of these things confidently and easily. The productiveness framework, which you'll soon learn, will help you to be confident that you are always doing what matters now. It acts as a compass that will navigate you in the right direction to reach your goals. Here's another potential challenge. Challenge: to-do list guilt. Many people experience an endless cycle of to-do list guilt. Whenever we work on something, we are not working on something else and thus feel guilty. It's a trap. It doesn't matter what we pick. We always feel like they are neglecting something. We always feel to-do list guilt. To feel to-do list guilt, sometimes all it takes is having two tasks on your to-do list. For example, you want to work on an online project, but you've taken a resolution to spend less time on your computer and do more physical activity. The result? Whenever you work on your project, you feel guilty because you're not jogging in the park. When you're in the park, you feel you should be working on your project. You basically end up in an infinite loop of guilt. Now imagine if you have tens, hundreds, or even thousands of tasks that you feel are all important. In extreme cases, you can't even focus on anything because you're constantly thinking about the other things you should be doing. It does not take much strength to do things, but it requires a great deal of strength to decide what to do. Elbert Hubbard. If you find yourself experiencing to-do list guilt, the following might be a life-changing discovery for you. The solution is to put a structure in place, then work inside the structure. This strategy gives you absolute peace of mind because as long as the structure is set correctly, you always know that you are doing the right thing at the right time. When you know what you should be working on right now, and you're aware of the fact that all the other important things have their proper place in your system, you can finally reap the benefits of the focused, peaceful mind, abolishing the to-do list guilt once and for all. The structure gives you freedom. It removes the emotional and mental burden of living in doubt that you are not doing what you should be doing at any particular moment. Better yet, most of your daily mundane decisions can be outsourced to the structure and automatically handled for you. This book will help you set up such structure in your life in the next two modules. A rule of thumb in business is as follows. If you can't outsource or delegate something, you probably don't understand it. So, for example, if you feel that you can't outsource the way you organize your work into a system, you might not yet fully understand how you organize your work in the first place. Challenge: decision paralysis. To-do list guilt rarely travels alone. Most times it has a loyal companion: decision paralysis. Geez, I have so much to do. Where to start? Let me check email first. Sounds familiar? When we have multiple things to do and need to make a decision on what to do next, we usually don't decide at all, or decide to do something unimportant instead, simply because it's easy to do, and we can avoid making the decision that way. When faced with two equally tough choices, most people choose the third choice, to not choose. Jared Kintz, this book title is invisible. Decision paralysis can doom your productivity. Don't fall into the trap of thinking you can rationally take all the facts into account when deciding what to do now in order to make the best decision. That's how decision paralysis thrives. Overanalysis is dangerous. Our short-term memory can take only so much information. your short-term memory can hold only about 5 to 9 items. When you start considering any decision, as you keep thinking about it, you will start taking more and more items into account. This process will remind you of many other things, and it can quickly lead to a brain jam. You will lose focus of what's important now. All decisions are made based on insufficient information. Dr. Wyatt Woodsmall. It's impossible to make a perfect decision, so if you try to, you will experience decision paralysis. Therefore, it's best to outsource your decisions to a system. For example, if the next task is always clear, you will avoid decision paralysis altogether. In other cases, it might be best to go with your gut. Perhaps you won't make the best possible decision, but at least you will make a decision. Successful people don't make the right decisions, they make their decisions right. Elliot Hulse. Here's the beautiful thing. In a way, all decisions are the right decisions. As long as you make a decision and get going, you will eventually do great. Every path is the right path. If you are moving, you are doing better than most. Don't be afraid to make decisions. You can only win as long as you keep making them. It is in your moments of decision that your destiny is shaped. Tony Robbins. You can train your decision-making skills even in everyday situations. For example, stop using sentences like, "I don't know," "I'll let you choose," and "Why don't you decide?" You might be surprised that others appreciate someone else making the decisions. Making decisions costs energy. In fact, pondering a tough decision is one of the fastest ways of burning your willpower for the day. However, making decisions quickly, perhaps by going with your gut or with a reliable system that you've set up beforehand, is efficient. Getting unstuck. Even when you're faced with multiple seemingly wrong choices that are tearing you apart, it's usually still better to pick one. The decision might not be optimal, but it is still probably better than not making a decision at all. If you wouldn't make a choice, you would remain stuck, and the choices would be still tearing you apart from within. A part of the Productiveness Framework, Module 3, is a daily closed to-do list. It works in such a way you won't encounter decision paralysis anymore. The trick is simple. Always do the tasks in given order. First things first, second things not at all, remember? Summary of Module 1.
To gain the maximum benefit from this training and to accelerate your learning, it is important that you listen to the following summary, as well as the summaries in the consequent modules.
In this module, we've learned the following. Metaproductivity is about increasing productivity on a higher level. For example, by setting up systems, conditions, and habits that will enable you to become permanently more productive. Productivity is about creating value. Value is always subjective. The most important thing before starting work on any project is to understand what the consumers, whether that's your boss, clients, customers, or investors, of the project actually value the most. In this regard, compassion is the ultimate business skill. The problem with productivity methods is that they usually require willpower and might not be sustainable in the long run unless good habits are ingrained within you. It might be difficult to give things, such as implementing a productivity method, your best shot, as you might feel that failing while giving your best is unacceptable. However, this idea is a form of unproductive thinking that one must overcome. Failure is an invented construct. It's not even real. The more you fail, the closer the success is. In the current information age, most of our work is never completely finished. We no longer ship completely finished products, but instead we ship versions. The main problem with perfectionism is that it can prevent you from completing things in the first place. Our to-do lists are infinite, and each task on our to-do lists is also potentially infinite. For these reasons, it is very important to be able to identify what matters most in the current moment and focus on that as much as possible. First things first, second things not at all. Working on one thing and feeling that you are neglecting another thing creates to-do list guilt. The solution for overcoming to-do list guilt is to work inside a structure, such as a prioritized to-do list or the productiveness framework. That way, you always know you are doing the right thing at any given moment. Having many different choices leads to decision paralysis. We have a natural bias to take the easy way out. So, for example, instead of working on any of 10 important urgent tasks, we might check the email first, as it might seem too difficult to choose one of the 10 important tasks. Open, unresolved decisions can be draining. Decision-making is a skill that can be easily trained by making decisions often and quickly. Deciding quickly and following your gut helps you preserve mental energy. The Productiveness Framework, Module 3, can make decision-making much simpler for you. Let's get started. Now, with some of the challenges and distinctions clear, it's time for some action. In the next module, we will learn and implement the Meta Habit, the ultimate habit.